So in chapel for the last couple of weeks, and again this coming week, we've been looking at some of the adventures of Paul and Silas. A couple of weeks ago, there was a bit of a prison situation and a prison break. Last Wednesday, there was a bit of a riot. They were tough times. And we were having a bit of a think about, you know, why would you even want to get into this kind of thing? Jesus, of course, knew ahead of time the trials that his friends and followers would face. And in John 16, verse 33, he gives us encouragement. In this world, you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. And of course, he equips us for everything that we need. But it occurs to me, as we're going to be talking about the armour of God, that none of this is actually going to be much use at all if we don't put it on. Or if we are wearing it and we're sleeping on the job. This Bible verses talk about put on, stand firm, take up, be alert. For this to have effectiveness, we need to use it. So, reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to 20. Paul's encouragement. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth tucked or buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted in readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whatever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Make these words your words, Father God, that they would get into our hearts and bring transformation to our lives so that we would prevail in your strength, by your grace, to your glory. Amen. Set apart to stand firm. As I came to this theme, I thought, where do you start with this? It's probably good to ask the question, well, what are we really up against? So I just want to unpack that. And a few things came to mind. And first is looking into my own heart. Why is it so easy for me to be naughty and so hard for me to be nice? Why is it that things that shouldn't go wrong do go wrong? Why is it that we find ourselves sometimes riddled with fear, anxiety, worry, and despair? Why is it that when you get on top of one thing, something bad always pops up somewhere along the line? Why do we find it easy to talk about the weather or the sport or our hobbies, and so hard to talk about Jesus. Why is it that we find our days jam-packed full of activities, yet often we find ourselves empty of relationship and meaning and purpose? What's going on in the world? I think part of the answer is our fallen human nature always has a propensity to focus on me, 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 me. And our 21st century culture reinforces that by continually saying, it's all about you. I think that's part of the problem. I think another part of the problem is we share in the brokenness of this world, yes? A world where people can hurt other people, where people can be mean to each other. A broken world where natural disasters happen, and that we too share in the brokenness. We have accidents, we get sick, we die. But there's more going on than this. Like it or not, we are also involved in an ongoing spiritual battle. And in this battle, the enemy isn't other human beings. It's not the government, or it's not some virus. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us what and who we're up against. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not human beings, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Well, what's that all about? In the heavenly realms, there's a reality that is beyond our senses, but is every bit as real as everything you can see and touch and taste. In the heavenly realms, there is God and his holy angels, yes? And God's holy angels worship and serve God and look after and watch over the people, yes? But in this heavenly realm, there are also fallen angels who are hostile to God and his purposes. These fallen angels in the New Testament are called unclean spirits or demons, or in our text, principalities and powers of evil. Like their master, the devil, these powers seek to rob and kill and destroy humanity. Jesus came to set us free from all that evil and to set us apart as his people forever. Amen. Friends, on the day of our baptism, God adopted us into his family as his children to share in his purposes for his world. And God also enlisted us in a battle for the redemption and eternal destiny of humanity. One of the devil's schemes is to undermine all that, to undermine our relationship with God and stop us from influencing others for Jesus. And when you think about the decline of the church and Christianity in our culture, you've got to conclude he's very, very good at it. So how do we carry out this work of God? Well, we need to make use of God's resources. And Paul tells us, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if, but when, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. This word for stand your ground, the word comes from a military context, and it basically means soldiers locking together and resisting the enemy. To stand opposed or against the enemy. To hold your ground and not to yield or acquiesce. Whenever the enemy is trying to invade our lives, we are to stand our ground, making sure we don't allow the enemy to influence us or undermine us. And Paul uses the picture of a Roman soldier's battle armor to describe these resources. They're God's resources for us to put on. I love what Georgie said before. It's no use knowing about them if we're not putting them on. So let's unpack this armor piece by piece. First of all, the belt of truth. Now, What's the enemy's strategy that truth counters? Lies. Jesus says the devil is the liar and the father of all lies. Remember that first temptation in the garden? Oh, you know what? If you eat that fruit, you will be like God. And how did that work out? It was a disaster. Satan, he's a master of deception. He masquerades as an angel of light with honey-dripping lies. He urges us to get hold of some forbidden fruit. But go on, look at that over there. Oh, you need that. You don't want to miss out on that. Go on, you owe it to yourself. There's no harm in trying. Have a go. Every day we are bombarded with heaps of messages like that on social media and advertising and TV and in public opinion. But here's the thing. Every lie we believe or swallow, it poisons us, it imprisons us, and it robs us of God's best for us. So when we put on the belt of truth, those lies are exposed. And when you put on this belt of truth, the devil loses the power to control your life. As Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. So if you want a life of purpose and joy and freedom, submit everything you believe and think and feel to truth as God declares it to be. Amen? All right, second piece, the breastplate of righteousness. Why do we need the breastplate of righteousness? Because the devil, Satan, is the accuser. And he's always taking your worst deeds and rubbing them in your faces and whispering more lies. Oh, you're a bad person. After all the terrible stuff you've done, why would God bother with someone like you? You've got no hope. You've got no future. Who do you think you are? And if you swallow or believe that lie, you end up paralyzed with guilt and isolated by shame. Jesus came and he put on all our sin-stained rags. And he gave us his perfect robe of righteousness. Jesus has made you right in God's eyes. Jesus has made you right with God. And there is no guilt, no shame, and no fear when you're in a right relationship with God. So friends, when our sin has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the devil has no grounds to accuse us. So if you have repented of your sin, confessed your sin, renounced your sin and been forgiven of it, know this, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so when the devil whispers those accusations into your heart or mind, you say, hey, you go to the cross and you take it up with him. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen? Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. These are Jews, but they sort of protect the feet. Not quite the same thing as a Roman boot, but anyway. The enemy, what's he do? He incites war and conflict. He seeks to alienate us from God and to divide us from each other. Divide and conquer, divide and conquer. It's an old strategy. And that's why we have broken marriages, fractured families. That's why in our culture we have prejudice and ageism and racism, dividing people, splitting them apart. Now all these hostilities that are in our culture, in our hearts, that separate us from God, that break us apart from each other, all of those were put to death at the cross. And in Jesus, you now have peace with God and peace with each other. That means by the power of the Spirit, we can be peacemakers and not troublemakers. And when he says, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, I think he's trying to urge us there to know that we are not just peacemakers, but we get to share this good news message of peace. We can share with others, oh, actually, let me tell you what Jesus has done. And as a result of it, I'm now living with peace. And I reckon lots of people are desperate to hear that, aren't they? Amen. The shield of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. What does the devil want to do with your faith? He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to wreck your relationship with God. He wants you to stop following Jesus and to put your heart allegiance towards someone or something else. And I reckon flaming arrows, if you think about a flaming arrow, it's always got a destructive intent, doesn't it? Yeah? And I think some of these destructive intents come through how we resolve or work through hardships and hurts in life. Because when we experience those, the devil tries to convince you, see, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. Some of those hurts could be any form of abuse that leaves us wounded. Maybe a grudge that we're holding against someone. Envy or jealousy. A habit or addiction that holds us in its grip. An accident or traumatic incident. A toxic relationship or workplace. A sudden health crisis or mental health issues. Or just ongoing feelings of futility and fear and anxiety and worry and despair. The enemy team seems to hop into those places and accuses God of doing us wrong. See, if God really cared for you, you'd be doing better than that. Friends, the shield of faith refuses to let circumstances or feelings determine what we believe. Faith is not an absence of pain or sorrow or hardship. Faith is telling Father God and sharing with Him our brokenness and our hurts and our failings and asking Him to be present with us and to help us to get over it. Faith is grabbing God by the scruff of the neck of His promises and hanging on for dear life. Faith is saying, hang on, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is with me. And with Jesus, I can get through everything that life dishes me. And I'd much rather do that with Him than without Him. And when we exercise our faith, we quench out those flaming arrows of the evil one. You see, the Roman soldier used to soak his leather-covered shield in water. So when the flaming arrows hit it, it would go tsst, tsst, tsst. And every time you exercise your faith against the evil one, it puts them out. Amen? Amen? Right, the helmet of salvation. This is important because I think the evil one wants us to doubt our destiny. And if you doubt your destiny or lose sight of it, how are you going to convince anybody else that it's real, that it's true? Friends, are you sure that you are safe in God's arms forever? Perhaps you're wondering, oh, I'm not sure. How can I be sure? You can be sure because it's got nothing to do with you and everything to do with what Jesus has done. Jesus has taken away everything that separates you from God at the cross, and Jesus' resurrection is God's guarantee that we will inherit eternal life. You can be sure of your salvation because Jesus has made it so. The Bible tells us so. And millions of His people around the world have joy in believing it is so. Friends, fixing our eyes on Jesus, knowing we have a destiny with Him, helps us avoid spending our lives on trivial pursuits and reminds us that we have a faith worth sharing. Amen? Okay, the sword of the Spirit. This is one of my favorites. Ha ha ha. It's the only offensive weapon in this armor. But by jingoes, is it powerful? When the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, how did Jesus cut it down? With the word of God. It's written. Devil, it's written. You don't tell me the truth, you only tell me lies. The word of God is our lethal weapon against the devil and his schemes. And that's why we're always banging on about it. We're asking you as individuals and households and families and small groups and ministry teams to immerse yourself into this word so this word gets inside you so you can wield the sword of the Spirit and you can cut down the devil's temptations and direct yourself and lead yourself into God's ways. Friends, years ago I was snorkeling in the ocean and it was known that there were sharks in the area and I was a bit intimidated. A friend gave me a hand spear. It's amazing when you've got a hand spear and you're snorkeling. I go, oh, well, at least if a shark's come along, I can wave this at it or poke it or something and deter it from attacking me. And friends, that's exactly the same thing as what the Word of God does. It's our weapon to drive off attacks from the enemy. When we believe it and declare it, when we share it and we sing it, the powers of darkness go ducking for cover. This Word of God, it is the power of God. It is authority that enables us to stand firm in the midst of battle. Amen? All right. One more. Keep praying for God's people. Did you notice that we've got a breastplate here but no backplate? Why is this so? Well, we cover each other's backs in prayer. Paul says, be alert. Keep your eye out for each other. Pray for each other. Keep praying for one another. Stand together. Share your lives so you know how to pray into each other's lives. Because when you are together, then you are strong. If you are isolated and become a lone ranger Christian, you are an accident waiting to happen. The devil only needs one arrow to knock you over. And if there's no one to stand together with you and lift you up and get you going again, oh, woe to you. When we're standing together and protecting each other, there's no retreating. All right, let's wrap this up. Question, what would happen today if a bunch of soldiers went into battle in their pajamas? What would happen? They'd get pulverized. That's what's really important, to put the battle armor on. So how do you put on this armor? It's really, really simple. It's not hard. You just remember what they are and you say, okay, today I'll put on the belt of truth to counter the enemy's lies. Today I'll put on the breastplate of Jesus' righteousness to stand firm against the accusations of the enemy. I'll put on the shoes of peace. Today I'm going to bring the peace of Jesus into my encounters. Helmet of salvation, then I remember that, yes, I am saved. I'm safe in God's care forever. And you just go through the pieces and you remember that and you actually put yourself into that. Friends, keep putting on the full armor of God so that you will continue to stand firm against the devil's schemes. And you know, one day, when the dust is settled and the smoke is cleared, we will share in Jesus' victory and we will be celebrating that we are God's loved and chosen and set apart people. That is our destiny forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this armor that you supply for us. It's not to do with being able to stand on our own, but being able to stand in you, in your authority. So, Lord, help us to remember to put this armor on, to remember that we actually have a cunning adversary who can exploit our weaknesses. But in Jesus, we have one who is stronger, the King, the line of Judah, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. And so, Jesus, you be our protector from now into eternity. And the people of God said, Amen.